Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right. Good evening, everybody. How are all 12 of you? Praise the Lord. I'm dressed a little different than I normally have, but I did a funeral this afternoon for Mike Smith, and we buried him way over in Stewart County, and somebody asked me, "Why are you in a hurry to leave?" And I said, "We got church tonight." "Y'all got church tonight? Do you know what's going on?" I said, "Yeah, we're having church." Yeah. So anyways, I'm glad y'all are here. So I love the Lord, and I love Sunday night services. I really do. And I know we don't have many folks come. But you know what? God hadn't called me to preach to thousands. He just called me to preach. And so that's what we're going to do tonight, and pray and ask God to bless us with His presence tonight. Father, it's just been so good to be in Your house all day long. And there's just nothing really quite like it when God's people are in God's house on God's day. And we just want You to know, Lord, afresh and anew, we love You. And we are so thankful for who You are. And we're so blessed to be Your people. And Lord, I just wish everybody had what we've got. And so Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to witness. Teach us to worship. Teach us to do all these things that Jesus told us to do. And Lord, we look forward to that day when You're even going to teach us to fly, and we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. We look forward to that day. Just doing that funeral this afternoon reminded me once again that life is so short, and that we're just here for really just a short time. And then we're out of here, and we're in a far better world than we've ever dreamed of. Well, God, come and sit in here with us tonight. Do what only You can do. In Christ's name we pray. I should have mentioned this already, but we're beginning our cottage prayer meetings for the Jesus and General Jackson rally this month. And we were going to host our very first cottage prayer meeting at Diana and my house tomorrow night. But after talking with Dwight, we're going to move our cottage prayer meeting from my house over to Hilldale Baptist Church tomorrow night at 6:30. As you turn in to go to Hilldale, right, the building on your right as you're turning in from Madison is the sanctuary. But the building on the left is the New Life Deaf Ministry building, and that's where about 35 or 40 of us meet from all different backgrounds, all different churches on Monday nights. And we pray for the spiritual transformation of Clarksville. And so that's going to fit right in to our Jesus and General Jackson rally, and as we pray for that. So we're going to move the cottage prayer meeting to Dwight's Montgomery County prayer meeting tomorrow night. So I hope y'all will be there at 6:30. It's going to be a fabulous time of prayer. And Dwight pretty well keeps us online and on time. We're there about an hour. Some days we want to go on for two, but it's a good time in the Lord. And so y'all come on tomorrow night, and I'll probably send out a one call now to everybody, remind them tomorrow night about that. But that's going to be a good evening. And this morning, what did you think, in just five or six words, what did you think about the prayer and praise meeting? Did y'all think it was good? I mean, you're not going to hurt my feelings. And of course, I had two ladies come up to me after the service after I had told everybody, don't come up to me after the service and tell me, oh. And I had two ladies come up and tell me exactly that. So, but overall, I thought the Spirit was good. And it was about an hour and 45 minute praise and prayer service. It worked out really well. Most Baptist churches don't do those kind of things. But that's okay. We need to get out of our comfort zone and learn how to pray together. And so I thought, and then y'all did a great job with testimonies this morning. It was fantastic. And I believe God's going to grow our church through things like that. So, and I'm praying that some young people next time will jump up and share. And so anyways, we're talking about Holocaust hatred tonight in Esther chapter 3. And we've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to be in Esther chapter 3 tonight. And as you're finding Esther chapter 3, let me just kind of set the table for us. You remember the situation from last Sunday night that Mordecai and the Jews found themselves in. I got to thinking back about history. I'm kind of a history nut. And the situation in Persia under King Ahasuerus, and now Esther's the queen through a series of, you know, I don't want to get into all that again, but she's now the queen. But the atmosphere during those days was very similar to what it was like in Germany before World War II. And I know you all weren't around then, but Germany was the place where the great Protestant Reformation took place in the 1500s. Great men like Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli and others had a tremendous impact in Germany and really all of Europe that led people to the Word of God and the God of the Word. There was a lot of great things that happened in the Protestant Reformation. A lot of great leaders and pastors and theologians came out of Germany as a result of the Reformation period. Have y'all ever heard much about the Reformation period in the church in the 1500s? You need to read about it. Just Google it and find it. But tremendous. If you like history, especially church history, a lot of wonderful things happened during the 1500s. But in the late 1800s, a virus hit the church called liberalism and began to spread through Germany after the Great Reformation. And the Germans and others began to lose faith in the Word of God. They quit believing in the miracles and the supernatural in the Bible. Sections of the Bible were even got to be considered false. People began to, began to think of Jesus as some spiritual man than a literal man. People no longer saw the Bible as the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative Word of God. And as a result, people began to turn their backs on God. Any of this sound familiar? That's what's going on in our country. Exactly what's going on in our country. And so when the Scriptures cease to be the authority of a nation, that nation is vulnerable and open to an attack from Satan. And it's no surprise back in Germany that a man by the name of Adolf Hitler was just waiting in the wings in those sad days in Germany when people were turning away from God. And it was much like this in the days of Esther. Esther's now the queen. You remember her older cousin Mordecai had uncovered a plot. There were some two men that were going to assassinate the king. And Mordecai had heard about it and told the king, and the king's life had been spared. And everything that happened in those days, you remember last week, everything that had transpired was written down in the book of the Chronicles of the King. You remember that? You remember that? Okay, but the king had paid very little attention to the book. And so when you turn your back on the Word as a nation, there's always a Hitler that comes to rise, that comes to power. So I've said all of that to kind of introduce verses 1 through 6. So let's look at those. And we're looking now at Haman's honor. Haman's honor, okay? Chapter 3. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Now, I don't know if y'all remember back in our Revelation study and end time study, the Agagites were the kin or kin folks to whom? You remember? King Saul. Amazing thing. And advanced him, Esau. And advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him and all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened, when they spoke to him daily, and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. And so now the word's gotten out in the Persian kingdom that Mordecai was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. And so Haman had a tremendous hatred for the Jews. He's often called the Hitler of the Old Testament by scholars. His very name, Haman, means the rager. The rager. You remember the old movie, what was it? Raging Bull? Well, that was a good nickname for Haman. And he wanted to destroy God's people. He hated Mordecai, and he hated Mordecai's people. Haman had received promotion after promotion after promotion, and had advanced to second in command in the kingdom. He's probably now what we would call the prime minister of Persia. And isn't it interesting that while it was Mordecai that had actually saved the king's life, the king had forgotten about that, and it was now Haman who received the promotions. Nothing had been done for Mordecai. Isn't it interesting that while Jesus has done everything for us, very little is done for Jesus today? Take a look at what... Let's just take a look tonight, real quick look. What has Jesus done for us? He died for us. To save us from our sins. What has He done for us? Okay. Suffered for us. Y'all been, some of y'all like me, you've been saved 50 something years. What is Jesus doing for y'all? Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. He was tempted. He knows what it's like to be a human being. He's our what? Our intercessor and our advocate. Well, those are two big Bible words. Jesus is praying for us tonight. And when Satan accuses us in the throne room, guess who stands in our defense? Whew! There's a good sermon right there. What is Jesus doing for us? What has He done for you? Dwight said it all, everything. And so, whatever we can do for Jesus, hello? Now let's just take another look. What has Satan done for you? T-R-O-U-B-L-E. What has Satan done for you? What does John 10 say? The thief comes to what? Steal your joy, kill your spirit, and destroy your life. That's what he's done for you. Amen? And what I am finding out is that either God is my father or Satan is my father, right? Only two kinds of folks in the world. And whatever Jesus has done for me, I can't do enough for Him. Anybody else feel that way tonight? All right. And so it was Haman that received all the promotions. And so, and the king had kind of forgotten about Mordecai. After all that Mordecai had done for the king, saved his life. But the human heart has not changed much. And I just wanted to make that application there for us. And so Jesus deserves first place in our lives, right? And Haman was not only given rule as prime minister, look what else he was given. He was given respect. People were given honor and bowing down to Haman. When Haman would come into town, he would come into town on horseback, and he expected people to give him homage. In other words, to bow down and to give Haman praise. And how did Haman feel about that? Oh yeah, he liked it. Do you know, folks, it really matters how you handle success. Success, all these professional athletes that get all this fame and fortune just quickly, and it's all gone. It's the worst thing for them because they don't know how to handle it. And so Haman didn't understand quite how to handle success. And that says to me, we'd better remember just exactly when something good happens to me, when I get that promotion, when I get that raise. Somebody last week was telling me, Brother Cal, Brother Cal, Brother Cal. I said, what? He said, you'll never guess what happened to me. And I said, no, I won't be able to guess what happened. Yeah, what happened to you? And she said, I got a raise this week. And I said, how'd you get a raise? And that was just kind of like an open door for her to start giving God praise. And she said, well, I've been working real hard. And I said, yeah, I know you've been working hard, but who gave you that job? She said, oh, the Lord did. I said, who gave you that promotion? God did. And so when good things happen to us, Jesus deserves all the credit and the glory and all the honor. And so Haman was given respect. And Haman was also given rejection. There was one person who would not bow to Haman. While all the political flunkies were bowing down in the street to Haman and giving him their homage, there was one man that would not bow his knee to him, Mordecai. And Mordecai stood tall. Mordecai didn't worship the king, and he didn't worship the prime minister. Mordecai worshiped the King of Kings. You know, it takes courage to stand alone. It takes a lot of heart to be different. But I want to say to you, don't bow your knee to the pagan gods of this world, because they can't give you what you need. The pagan gods of this world offer a lot, but they can't deliver. Only God can. And so Haman was demanding respect from Mordecai. And you know something else? You can't demand respect. You have to what? Earn respect. And so Haman had not earned anybody's respect. And he's mad. And so he decides there in verse 6, I'm just going to get rid of Haman. I'm just going to get rid of Mordecai. As a matter of fact, I think I'll just get rid of all these Mordecais. I'll just get rid of all these Jewish people. And, you know, hate is such a dangerous thing. Sometimes I hate to hear the word hate. You know, and we use it sometimes. And I hope if you're here tonight that you don't hate someone. I've heard people say in counseling, say, I just hate my spouse. You wouldn't believe what she's done to me. You wouldn't believe the kind of man he's turned into. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, in settings like that, what I normally hear most often is I, me. I, me. And that eventually turns into hate. And so if you've got hate in your heart towards someone, deal with it. Somebody's mistreated you, deal with it. Somebody's done you wrong, deal with it. Go to them. Work it out. Get it worked out. Somebody told a lie about you, go to them. Don't go talk to 25 other people. Go talk to them. Go and get it worked out. Hate is a dangerous thing. And Haman hated Mordecai so much, he wanted to wipe out the whole Jewish nation. Which is, so look at verse 7. That kind of sets up Haman's hate. Look at verse 7. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur. In other words, they cast lots. That's what that means, okay? Before Haman to determine the day and the month, until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they don't keep the king's laws. Therefore, it's not fitting for the king to let them remain." You understand what's going on here? You hearing this conversation? "If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I'll pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries." So the king took his signet ring from his hand, and he gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you." Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded, to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province according to its script, and to every people in their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring, and the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. On the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. What we've got in these verses is nothing short of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, y'all know what we're talking about that? A hatred for the Jewish people. And have you ever noticed there's always been a hatred for the Jewish people? Why is that? Yes. Satan hates God's people. He hates the Israelites, the Jews. He can't stand it. And all through the scriptures, you've got these men raising their heads for the sole purpose of wiping out the Jewish people. It's all through the Bible. That's what it was all about over in Germany. And there's still a move today by 20-something, 22, 23 Muslim countries. You know what they want to do? They want to wipe Israel out. Who do you think's behind all that? Satan's behind that. You know, there's principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And so Satan is behind all that. And so, you remember, Pharaoh hated the Jews. Hitler hated the Jews. People today hate the Jews. And so what Haman does is he gets his astrologers together, and they begin to cast lots in order to figure out the exact date that they were going to exterminate the Jews. What day would the gods hand down for their annihilation? Mysticism, astrology, psychic phenomena, all of that stuff goes back to the pagans in the Bible. That junk has been around for thousands and thousands of years. There's nothing new under the sun. Y'all with me? And by the way, I want to just say that your destiny is not decided by turning to the stars. Your destiny is decided by turning to the Scriptures. That's a good word. Somebody ought to write that one down. Your destiny will never be decided by turning to the stars, astrology. Your destiny will be determined by the Scriptures and how you handle them, and whether or not you're obedient to them or not. Somebody shout amen in the Baptist church on Sunday night. And so finally, they come up with the date. And it would be a year later on the last month of the calendar. Verse 8 reveals that Haman goes into the king to persuade him, and he tells the king, there's a group of people in our country. And king, they're not like us. They're different. They've got different laws. They believe in a different God. They do things differently from us. They have a different set of rules and things and laws that they follow. And let me just stop right there. God has called us to be different. But I don't want to be different. If you're a child of the King, you're already different. You're walking differently in a different direction than the way the world walks. You're walking almost turning around, trying to go upstream instead of downstream. And it's tough to do that, right? God hasn't called us to be like everybody else. He's called us to be like Him. And He's different. And so God's called us to come to be separate from the world. Now we're to be not of the world, but we're to be in the world. We're to be salt and light in our community. And bless God, that's as I look around the church house tonight, that's who y'all are. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up, you're the salt. You're the salt. All right? You're the light. That's who we are. We're different. And it's okay to be different. But being different and being set apart from the world is not easy. And so when you're at work and everyone else is laughing at dirty jokes and gambling on the ball games and going to the Super Bowl parties and drinking like fish and smoking dope and having sex, we don't have to be like that. Okay, I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you I've always been different. I haven't. There were times in my life when I was going downstream with everybody else. But bless God, Jesus never let go of me. And I'm going to live the rest of my days by God's grace and by God's mercy different from the way of the world. But I want to tell you what. I believe you can be a Christian and you can be a follower of Christ everywhere on this planet. In all kinds of situations, we don't have to be nerdy. We don't have to be a bunch of nerds. We don't have to act like, you know what I'm saying? You can just be who you are. Don McElwain, you can be the best Don McElwain on the planet. Dwight Dixon, you can be the best Dwight Dixon on the planet. I don't know anybody else like David Fry. Isn't David unbelievable? Isn't David wonderful? I'm going to give you all another chance. All right? And so you can be the best you that you can be, but we're to be different, and it's okay to be different. But you don't have to be, you know, strange. We want to draw people to Christ, don't we? We don't want to cause them to scatter away, right? And so, that's okay. And so, I wish people could see all the good folks at Second Mile that we're different. And it's okay to be different. Now, verses 10 through 11 that I was reading there about King Xerxes. Well, King Xerxes was his Greek name, King Ahasuerus. That's his Persian name. But he's persuaded to pass a new law. Now you remember the law of the Medes and the Persians, once the law had been passed and the king signed it, done deal. Couldn't be revoked, couldn't be repealed. All right? And so Haman wants to ask the king for the money and the men to destroy all the Jews. And basically, when the king took his signet ring off and gave it to Haman, he's giving him carte blanche to do whatever he wants to do. And so the scribes hammer out the proclamation. And Haman puts the king's signature on each document. And they go to the huge task. And it was a huge task of taking this new document everywhere and nailing it up on every bulletin board, on every town square, at every courthouse, all over Africa, Egypt, Asia, and Europe. And the proclamation was put up all over the known world at that time that the Jews would be exterminated in one year. Can you imagine Jews all over the world in every town and village reading that proclamation? If you were Jewish and you read that thing, oh my goodness, we're all going to die December 25th. Well, that's what's going on here. That's what's happening. I mean, think about the grief. You're talking about people on Paxil and Prozac and everything else. I mean, man, I mean, there's tremendous anxiety among the Jewish people. Now, think about how they're feeling. Where is God? I mean, I've wondered about the Jewish people. When Diana and Isaac and my grandson Casey were up in Washington, D.C. on fall break last year, we went to the Holocaust Museum. And I was at, I'm not usually at a loss of words. But when we went in there and we saw piles and piles of little boys' and girls' shoes that the Nazis took away from the Jewish children. And then we saw even their teeth and their hair piled up in big piles. And the atrocities that were committed against the Jewish people. I was almost a zombie. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was heartbroken over what had happened to the Jewish people. And if you've never read anything, the greatest course I had in seminary was on the Holocaust. It was better than any course I had for all 3 years up there. And it was there that I began to realize just exactly what it was that happened. Hitler was allowed to slaughter 6 million Jews. Eli Wiesel, you ought to read his book. There's a lot of other works put out there. But I want to tell you, Satan has been trying to wipe the Jewish people off the face of this planet ever since Abraham. Do you know why? Because that way, if he can accomplish that, what happens? Well, God lied to y'all. Not going to happen. Now I'm king. You crown me. Satan's always wanted to be worshipped. And so that's what's going on here. But I like what Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36 says. If the sun, moon, and stars are in the sky, are they in the sky tonight? You're kidding. The sun and the moon and the stars are all in the sky tonight? The Bible says, so shall my people be on the earth. Don't forget, God is still on His throne. Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. Now, after the proclamation went out all over the world, the king and Haman sat down to drink and to toast one another. Now, let's look at verse 15. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was published in Shushan, the citadel, the capital. So the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. And that's an understatement. The fact that there were millions that were about to die, I think even the Persian people began to think about the souls of these little boys and girls. And I want to tell you, I think about the little boys and the little girls and the lost families in Montgomery County tonight. People who have no relationship with Christ. My brothers and my sisters, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you're going to one or the other. And by the way, heaven is not the default destination. You don't have to do anything and you'll split hell wide open. Why? Because we're born into sin. And we choose to sin. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. And you don't have to do anything. And you'll skip merrily right into hell. People need to know how to get to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Jesus said, believe also in me. For in my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the... And no man cometh unto the Father except by me. The only way you're going to get to heaven comes through Jesus. You've got to repent of your sin and trust what Christ has done for you. Billy Walker says it over and over and over again in Sunday morning Bible study. He makes it real clear, real plain. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so you got to come to God His way. And I think about all of those millions in Persia that were going to lose their lives. And I think about all the, I mean, if we're talking 90% of Clarksville, of Montgomery County, that are unchurched, probably most of those unchurched folks are lost. How many people live here now, Brother Kevin, in Montgomery County? Over 200,000? What is that, 180,000 lost people? Is that right, Dwight? If you're looking at 90%, that ought to stir our hearts to come to prayer meeting tomorrow night, to pray that God would do something only He can do. And so, let's wrap this up. And let me say this about Second Mile, and then I'll shut up. A Sunday school class that never has a visitor, there's something wrong with that. A ministry in this church that's not trying to reach outside the church in the community that we live in, there's something wrong with that. A church that won't be willing to get out and knock on doors and do Easter egg extravaganzas, there's something wrong with that. We need to be willing to do whatever we've got to do, as Jude says, to snatch people from the fire. Do you believe in heaven? If you believe in heaven, you've got to believe in hell. And hell is a real place. And I challenge you tonight to get a burden for some lost person and begin praying for them, and then get off of our blessed assurance and go share Jesus with them. Haman and the king sat down to drink and be merry. But did you see did you catch the last line there of verse 15? But the city of Shushan was perplexed. The average Joe in Shushan, and Joey, I'm not talking about you. The average Joe in Shushan understood that what was happening was wrong. And you know what? I think if our Supreme Court and our Congress and House of Representatives, and if they just get out in America this next week and talk to the common people, I mean, the average person in Montgomery County, I think, knows it's wrong to kill innocent babies. Right? I mean, even lost people understand that. And yet we've got politicians and political parties debating if abortion's right or wrong. This book says it's wrong. And if the Scripture says it's wrong, it's wrong. And I think Montgomery County knows, we don't want to admit it, but we know homosexuality is wrong. We know premarital and extramarital sex is wrong. We know it's wrong. Why? Because the Bible says it's wrong. Not because I say it's wrong, because the Word of God says it's not right. And yet we've allowed, you know, federal marriage amendments that could have protected the God-ordained institution of marriage. We let that just slide by. I'm not really a part of any political party any longer. But I want to say this. I'm not a black sheep Republican. I'm not a yellow dog Democrat. I'm not even a Green Party tree hugger. Okay? But what I am for is supporting people that run for office that believe what this book says. And not just say they believe it, but that's the way they vote when they do business. And so that's, a lot of this stuff is political here in the book of Esther. And to be quite honest with you, there's a lot of stuff in the church and in the community that's political. And so what we've got here is an Old Testament Holocaust. It's going to be a massacre. It's going to be a massacre. And the providence of God is at work. Who's in place? Mordecai. Mordecai's in place. Where is Esther? She's the queen, right? And the truth has all been written down in a book, the Chronicles of the King. And it just may be that the providence of God is at work in Montgomery County tonight. And it just may be that the providence of God is at work here at Second Mile Church tonight. Hello? Tell somebody God's with us. The providence of God is at work. And yet God is going to call His people from time to time to do the hard things. And we got to be willing to do the hard things. Are you ready to take your stand for God tonight? God may call every one of us in here over the next few months to take our stand for Him. And I want to tell you what. If you don't stand for something or someone, you'll fall for anything. You can write that one down too. But I'm going to take my stand for Jesus. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And I don't know what you're up against tonight, but I know this. The providence of God was at work in the life of Esther, in the life of the Jewish people. And the providence of God is at work amongst us tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray You'd forgive me for anything that I haven't said. I pray that You'd forgive me of anything I've said that I shouldn't have said. But Lord, under grace and under Your admission, I've said everything that Lord, I believe You wanted me to say. And I'm burdened about our county. And I'm burdened about our country. And Lord, our hope is not in some president or some new politician or some great brand spanking new program. Our hope is in Jesus tonight. Our hope is in the Spirit of the Lord tonight. And He's the only one that can make a mess, that can clean up the mess that we've made. And Lord, even with all of our problems, I still believe that this nation is still the greatest nation on the planet. But God, if we don't start getting our wagons hitched to Jesus again real soon, as a country, we're going to be history. And Lord, I fear for the lives of our children and our grandchildren. They're not growing up in the country that I grew up in. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to make a difference. That we would love people to Jesus. That we might say the hard things and be willing to go the extra mile, the second mile, in order to get Jesus to people. I thank You, Lord, for this evening. And if there's any hatred or bitterness or mean-spirited anger deep down in our soul tonight, I pray, God, that You'd slay it with the blood of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I think about that verse that I mentioned in the funeral today. I think about John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another. And so, look for it. Father, help us to love one another in spite of our differences. Help us to pray for one another in spite of our differences, and help the church to be the church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.